Hello, everybody. So we're going to be talking about the suite for automated global electronic biosurveillance today. It's a suite that with the Hopkins, Sherry Lewis, and Brian Fainter, we've got the program and project managers. This is a suite of tools that's meant to be used in conjunction or independently to leverage current systems that are in place, as well as to add capacities to resource-limited areas. So objectives today is to discuss the SAGE's concept and philosophy, describe the implementation process, and we're going to go through some screenshots. Also, we'll have a live demo of OpenEssence, time permitting. Start off with the challenges of electronic disease surveillance. Provide situational awareness to decision makers for early detection, containment, and follow-up. Most of JHU APL's work domestically has been with the DoD and VA. SAGE's is aimed more at the resource limited settings, which have different opportunities and challenges. A lot of this is being driven by the World Health Organization's IHR of 2005. So the new regulations significantly increase the requirements for reporting both the number of diseases and reporting capabilities. Several factors add to the challenge of global disease surveillance, some new and some old. Factors currently increasing the challenge are rapidly changing high-risk diseases and threats, globalization and rapid disease progression, lack of access to timely, accurate information, and some of the problems here are extracting the signal from the noise and obtaining enough information in the resource challenge venues. And then a problem that you can see in pretty much everywhere is a lack of collaboration across jurisdictional boundaries. Some of the lessons learned from our team's experiences from speaking with enhancing local public health capacities. They're pretty much the same lessons learned from working with domestic public health agencies. With perhaps less emphasis on the need for the open source software itself. So some lessons learned. Everyone wants to control their data. That's something that we strive for. We don't, everyone owns their data. We're not collecting it in a centralized capacity. Open source software is desirable, and a lot of this is because we're working in outside of the US, so for export controls. Place a minimum burden on those providing the data, so make it easy for them and to motivate them to get the information into the system. Acceptance results from enabling the user to easily tailor the system to their needs. So the approach here is that we're trying to build a system so that it can go to what they have or connect to their systems, as opposed to making them reformulate what they have to match our system. Sustainability results from local ownership and working with the existing needs and capabilities. We're not going in with a suite that requires 50 servers or anything like that to run. Our goal is to lay on top of the existing infrastructure that's already there, which will help support the sustainability, because it's not something that has to be maintained, because it's something they're already working with. So state-of-the-art tracking in some of the settings that we're currently looking at. Right now, it typically consists of handwritten entries into logbooks, which are then rolled up into reports or generated weekly. These, via various means, are then sent into a centralized facility where they're typically analyzed. And sometimes 2 to 4 weeks after collection, we've seen quarterly reports. So the data lag is fairly high. Some of the instances, rather than the HL7, the real-time feeds that we have in the U.S., I mean, this is the state-of-the-art in a lot of these resource-limited settings. And this brings up the key point of the SAGE's, is to improve the timeliness of data collection and analysis. We can't necessarily improve the quality of the data, but we can improve the quality of the timely reporting, and we can help facilitate via various means to ensure the data is collected correctly. So jumping on. So the suite itself is made up of several components, several variations which can be used in conjunction of data acquisition. As mentioned, the HL7, SFTP email. We have web forms. This is with the OpenEssence. SMS, the ability to text messages in. This is via form or simple text. So, you know, a lot of the regions that we're going to text, cell phone proliferation is pretty high, and a lot of the users are very comfortable with texting. So in areas where there's no electricity, but a lot of times they still have cell, and the text messages are actually usually pretty cheap. So it's an easy way to get information in quickly. Digital logbook, and then IVR phone. IVR phone is a typical queuing, you know, you enter, it'll prompt you for, you know, to enter a number, and then the user would type in the number. These different data acquisition tools are meant to be used depending on the area. Some areas texting is cheaper, some areas the phone call on a, they have a more established phone network, and that is still cheaper. So it's really to adapt to the areas that we're going into. We have two analysis and visualization tools, which will I'll have screenshots and potentially a live demo at the end for the web-based tool. Communications and collaboration. We have several tools in that suite. Modeling, simulation, evaluation. Some of the key attributes, open source. So both of our analysis and visualization tools will be open source. The web-based tool is in a limited release at the moment, but it is open source. The desktop tool is freely available on our, we have a website that you can download. The open source is pending. Flexible, modular, scalable. These modules and pieces can be used in any combination with existing architectures and frameworks. You can be used as all together, or they can be used as supplemental pieces. Data type agnostic. We connect to a variety of databases. The desktop tool can interface with CSV and Excel files. So if people are already collecting data, they can leverage the tools that we have to analyze. Sustainable, and this goes back to running on the systems that are already in place. And then multi-use, that it's not limited to biosurveillance. It is, these tools can be used for a number of venues. Okay. So data acquisition, we ran through these various forms of the ways to get data into the system. We support multiple data streams, so several of these can be used in conjunction. In some venues, they have other means of these already going in, and we can add to them, add capabilities. And then the scalability, depending on needs, the software that we've designed is meant to run on it can require a 3 to 5 year old laptop, or it can run on the server, depending on the needs of the users themselves. And ultimately, these tools specifically, are to replace handwritten report and manual data entry. In some cases, to the reports that are generated weekly and stuff like that can be sent in a faster time instead of weekly. In one instance, in the Philippines, Jackie Coberly and Rich Wojcik recreated logbooks as a form on the clinic's PCs so they could maintain their logbook and also have the automated data entry. So it's expanding on the abilities that were already there. So the analysis and visualization tools. So these are the cornerstones of SAGES, the two open source tools we have created for the data analysis and visualization. Essence Desktop Edition is the desktop tool. It's a standalone, no internet required tool. OpenEssence is a web-based tool. Both tools have temporal and spatial analysis capabilities. Both have the ability to create dynamic queries. They can be both can be used together, or they can be used independently. They're configurable with early event detection algorithms. Both have several pre-built some JHU APL proprietary algorithms, as well as several CDC algorithms. They're both plug-in enabled, where you can add your own. So for communications, InfoShare is it's essentially a secured platform for sharing information. In case you don't have a secured email, it's kind of a mimicking Outlook as a way to allow secured communications in a structured format. So it's queryable and shareable. It's threaded, so people can respond. It's your typical sharing tool. The knowledge repository as well. And data export, OpenEssence, for example, you can formulate the data in a way that you can export to Excel and use in other tools. They've been used in SAS and stuff like that. But you can format it in a way after you're running your queries and then analyze the data. The graphics are exportable. These can be used in reports and summaries. The granularity of information is controlled by the user. So for InfoShare, as well as the exporting from the web-based tool, the data can be limited via access, so you can expose and hide certain aspects of different tables or tables themselves. And we also have the ability to line-level filter. So you could filter out, if you have several regions reporting, you can filter so that one region cannot see the other one's data. And it just depends on the situation. And they support manual automated information sharing. So the automated, just being that if it's set up that you could post the information, otherwise it requires manual input. This is an example of the information sharing network. Enables users to share their findings with colleagues in other jurisdictions. The same concepts deployed between states and federal agencies in the U.S. and has the potential to aid regional information sharing in resource-limited regions of the world. It's a secure place to communicate. The look and feel is similar to Outlook. So let me get into that modeling, simulation, and evaluation. JHU APL has created various outbreak scenarios and synthetic data for exercising electronic disease surveillance programs. We intend to evaluate the effect of SAGE's implementation in several of the countries it's currently being deployed. And because we're supporting a tool and not necessarily improving the data quality, we expect that most of the improvement will come in terms of improved timeliness and reporting. When we go out for a site assessment, looking at site-specific architectures and picking the tools and allowing the locals to pick tools that will help them, site-specific architecture requires comprehensive understanding of the public health capacity, public health needs, and IT capacity. Typically, when we are sending a team out to do a site assessment, there's public health practitioners to document the public health objectives and challenges of the country, as well as the IT to evaluate the infrastructure and to see what tools they have in place that we could leverage. Standard public health information provides insight into available resources. I mean, some of the things we are looking at, the demographics, population, birth and death rates, top causes of death, health statistics, health-seeking behavior, just to make sure that the data is being collected. In some traditional healers, there's military and civilian health institutions, and just to get the coverage itself. Civilian public health, organizational structures, some of these hierarchies, when reporting information, to make sure it's viewable and to see, you know, to filter out if only certain sites should be able to see certain information. Current surveillance initiatives, are they currently, what they're currently doing and how it's being used and if we can help improve it. Current electronic surveillance initiatives, and level of human-animal interaction. So the key factors for success, this is continuing from our site assessments, the IT workforce and connectivity of the country that may limit architecture options, number of healthcare sites with reliable electricity, level of IT infrastructure and IT personnel. As mentioned, the open source tool, OpenEssence, is a web server. So somebody would have to, if there's somebody there in the capacity to support it, if they have internet access, which would go back to electricity, the data, electronic and the language, like how it's being currently transmitted and how we could employ systems, and cell phone coverage. In certain instances, the cell coverage is really good, and others, they do have an established phone system that it's kind of predominating the cell phones at the moment. And then we also have to look at the political and cultural issues that may impact the ability to sustain a surveillance initiative. So types of government, U.S. Department of State concerns, political will to implement and sustain the system, the motivation behind it, privacy concerns, and family structures. So after a site assessment, we propose architectures, which are then chosen by the local establishments. We go into implement the structure, train end users, and evaluate the system itself. So usually we start off with a pilot. And this is an example of over in Cambodia, a current setup they have for electronic surveillance. They're using simple SMS, and then some of the remote regions where there is no cell, they're actually transmitting via RF radios, which are then forwarded via simple cell. Then we have the smartphone. So when this architecture, the simple SMS is an unstructured or structured text message that can go into a smartphone. Smartphones have the ability to have a form-based, which is helps improve the data and reduce some of the complexity on the end users. It's more of a form instead of entering numbers that are separated in a certain format. This information is parsed on the smartphone and actually stored locally in their headquarters, which then can be analyzed via the EDE analysis tools or OpenEssence. Integrated with OpenEssence, they'd have the ability to view and query from other sites that have internet access and where users have been given access or to certain information. So, stepping into, so Essence Desktop Edition, this is an RCP desktop application, does not require internet access, provides the ability to connect to your data. So we can structure the data for the phones coming in to parse, but this also can be used as a tool to analyze data that you already have. And the key there is that it's you're configuring our system to match your data, as opposed to trying to modify your data to work in the system itself. This is an example, a screen capture from the data source creation wizard. A data source is, could be Excel, could be an Access database, could be a CSV. And what you're doing here is you're modeling the columns and types. If it's kind of just a filler field for you, the enumerations would allow you to do apply different filters and or to run queries for time series and maps. Location data is going to be used, again, for plotting that information on a map. And then date, again, for querying and information, just if you would like to see it in the system. So this is a screenshot of just configuring a data source to match a data set. this is stepping into the result of a query against a demo set that's been set up. This is an example of time series. Below that are data details. You can drill through any of the points of the alerts. The alerts you see on here are generated by one of the detection algorithms that were selected. Baked in are the JHU proprietary as well as the CDC algorithms, and this is the way the system's set up. You can actually apply your own algorithms as well. And then mapping. This is EpiMap, also integrated as UDIG for mapping. This is a point-based lat-long representation. You can also color the areas depending on different thresholds that are configured. These maps are then exportable, usable in reports. So OpenEssence, we do have screenshots, but I was going to go ahead and start up a live demo real quick. Actually, I have to load back in here. So as mentioned, OpenEssence provides So we're logging in with an admin access. The role level, you can filter out. So the administrative, if you log in as a regular user in this demo instance, you won't see the ability to create and add users, modifying districts. So a lot of the maintenance and administrative tools, you can filter those out. The demo itself, it's set up with line level listings, more syndromic based. This has the ability to accept data via cell phone with the smartphone parsing data. This is the web form installation. Again, this is configured. You configure data sources to match your data set that you're going to be using. Database agnostic can currently run against Postgres, MySQL, several freely available data sources or databases. Configuration-wise, there's a lot of options. You can pick dates, districts. There's the ability to have either free form or pre-populated. So if you had tables of information, you can have it hard-coded so people can only input certain parameters. The ability to edit, manage, delete, to view the data. So if there were additional notes or you had to go back in and make a modification, the data's there. This, like I said, is a line level example. We also have the ability for summary. This would be like your weekly reports. It's just demoing two different variations of the data itself. These again are the baked in, what we can say is dynamic forms for data entry. When you configure the data source, you can select whether it's got the options, whether it's freeform, whether it's an integer. All that's configurable. You can also customize it. It's, again, pluggable via external configuration files. So you can have very custom input forms if you're trying to mimic an existing system. Query and reporting. Again, these fields are exposed based on config and the parameter options, again. So you can limit what's available, and you can also define how it's used, whether it's a free form, with integer character, or whether you're selecting predefined inputs. What we're going to show here, we have the ability to display maps, time series, charts, and then just regular the raw data details, which then, again, can be exported and used within other tools. Just a quick example of the time series. Screen resolution's a little low, but this is very similar to the one you had on the other version. Below is the details of the detection algorithm itself. some of these can be collapsed to make more room. If you want to investigate a particular point, you can drill in on what data is populating that particular point. Charts, again, these are configured ahead of time so that you can configure based on the query. You can have predefined represented via bar or pie by district, summary, symptom, age group, sex. These are just some of the groupings that have been pre-configured. Details, as I said, that's just the raw data that matches the query, which is, again, exportable as Excel to be used within other tools. It leverages ordering, sorting. So the data you view is how it will be exported. So you can move it into a format that would work with other templates you might have. Mapping. So again, jumping in, this is going to be in zoom in. This is our Cityville data. So this is mapping an area. These pop-ups are, again, configurable, but by default, we just show you the counts and any identifiers for the area itself. It has the ability to support multiple layers, which, again, are configurable. We also have the individual records. These are actually mapped in by lat and long. This could be a lat and long of a facility. Depending how you're inputting data, it could be the lat and long from GPS. Going back, I mean, if you're running several queries, you have the ability to, if you're comparing queries, to jump back through and reuse the parameters on any one. But it's just a highly configurable system to match your data set. And again, this is just an example of the maintenance screens themselves, where you can add additional districts, modify, add more data. This is a pretty simple one, but there are plans for things like flow charts and images getting attached. I think these are pretty. That's about all. So you said we're opening up the questions at the end. Okay. So let me jump into this real quick. Thank you.